2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
This is KSL's Religion Today, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner, on KSL News Radio.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. I had a fascinating discussion, or at least it was for me, with someone on Facebook this past week. There was a Facebook group that is called Thoughtful Latter-day Saints or something close to that, and we were having a discussion, a few of us were, about how literal and how figurative was the book of Genesis. Another way to look at that would be how factual are the claims and comments in the book of Genesis. There are a number of different points of view on that. And if you had asked me that question 33 years ago when I was first involved in radio shows and debating critics and others much more often than I am today, I would have come to a position and just held it strongly. Today, I don't do that so much because there is a lot of evidence that will lead you down one path or the other. And I've come to believe, just as Joseph Smith taught through a fascinating episode in church history, that just because someone has beliefs that you think are untrue in the church or that are a little bit off kilter doesn't mean that they're not a good person, and vice versa, hopefully, for all of us. The story that I'm talking about is a man named Pelatiah Brown. In Kirtland, just a few years after the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints had moved there from New York, there was a man, an older gentleman named Pelatiah Brown, who taught Sunday school, and he came up with some ideas about the book of Revelation that almost everyone in the Sunday school class thought were just wrong and crazy. They were kind of nuts. And so Pelatiah Brown was asked not to teach those ideas anymore, but he did anyway. And ultimately, people became unhappy enough that they brought him up on charges before the High Council in Kirtland. And he was censured, and he appealed to Joseph Smith, who reversed the High Council and said, in effect, a person isn't a bad person just because they err in doctrine. And then he went on to explain that he thought it was important that we all have the freedom to believe on main issues, except for perhaps those fundamental bedrock issues, whatever we would like, and that those who are true and faithful will eventually get to the truth. I've always found that a comforting story, because you can never find two people who believe exactly the same thing on anything, let alone religious points of doctrine and history. And so, as I was getting back to this Facebook discussion, talking about how literal or figurative the book of Genesis was, I was the one who was originally on the defensive there. People would ask questions, and I would kind of respond and say, it's hard to know how much of Genesis is literal, and there's a lot of it that we have good evidence for, things that we didn't even know before. For example, scholars used to say they thought that Abraham was not a real person. Why? Because in the story of Abraham, it talks about his camels, and the idea was that during the time period in history where Abraham is supposed to have lived, according to the book of Genesis, camels were not yet domesticated. Well, strike one up for the scholars and strike one up against the Bible. That's the way it used to be, but now things are reversed because we now have scholarly archaeology that demonstrates that indeed camels were around and domesticated. And this is not just tentative evidence. There have been some figurines that clearly date back before the time of Abraham that show domesticated camels with ropes around their necks and packs on their back showing they were domesticated and carrying things. So ideas about the historicity of certain parts of the Bible will ebb and flow. Another fascinating part of the whole story is, what about the Garden of Eden? Is this a genuine story, or is this an allegory for how good and evil came about? Latter-day Saints generally take the position that there was a real Garden of Eden, and that, as a matter of fact, many would say it was in Jackson County, Missouri, or somewhere close to that. Although if you track down all of those fascinating early stories about where the Garden of Eden was, you'll find that Joseph Smith said nothing on the topic. And those early brethren who did mention it, Brigham Young, Heber C. Kimball, and others, didn't necessarily say that this was revelation. These were their own comments, their own personal ideas. And so we don't have any bedrock doctrine there. One may say the Garden of Eden will be there. One may say that it was somewhere else in the Middle East. It's something that Latter-day Saints don't feel stuck to, although one way or another, although people are passionate about the subject. The church is so passionate about one bedrock theme of Christianity, which is the second coming of Christ. And it's pretty hard to believe, be a believing Christian and not believe that Jesus will come back again, that the church has purchased quite a bit of land in and around Adam on Diamond, Jackson County, Missouri, presumably to have it prepared and beautiful for the time when the second coming shall take place. There are also some traditions within the LDS faith about a temple to eventually be built in Jackson County. And if you look at the designs that were prepared by Joseph Smith and the architects of the day, you'll find it was quite a different temple than the kind of temples that we have today. It was more of a conference site and meeting room for various instruction and people, in short, a very different kind of a temple. One of the beliefs, although again, this is not hard doctrine, but one of the beliefs is that this temple complex will indeed be built at or before the time of the second coming of Jesus. So, Abraham, real life person, I believe so. I tend to believe that's a genuine story. Adam and Eve, real life people. I absolutely believe that. All the details of Genesis, real and true. I somehow believe that Eve being formed from Adam's rib is figurative. I suppose I could be persuaded otherwise, but that's definitely the way it looks to me and to many other early church leaders. But however you come down on those issues, you will not be expelled from the church these days. We have the freedom to believe what we will. Another topic that we discussed was Noah's flood. Was there really enough water that would cover all the mountains of the earth? We know that Mount Ararat was a very tall mountain. We also know that we have other mountains that are even taller. Mount Everest and K2 are among the highest, and they are incredibly high. They are approximately 7 miles above sea level. How would you get enough water to cover the tops of all those mountains? And if someone says, well, these mountains pushed way, way, way up, after the time of Noah, the response to that would be, well, people can still identify Ararat. People still find the ancient city locations and villages and towns that are mentioned in Genesis, and we don't have new mountains springing up all over the place. It doesn't seem like that kind of a thing is possible. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Religion Today with host Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio.
We're back. This is Religion Today. If you have a question or comment about this or any other show, or if you have a religious question, send me an email. I will be happy to respond. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com. That's S as in Sam, martinstanner@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to respond. No question too hard, no question too easy. Feel free to send any questions you may have. So what if you believed that there was a worldwide flood and that all of the mountains were covered 7 miles deep? There are some theoretical ideas behind that, such as the idea that the interior core of the earth is filled with water, not molten magma, as is the typical theory. Well, possibly. It would be hard to wonder what happened to the water, what kind of forces could expel them and then cause them to come back in. Maybe. I tend to think the flood was a localized event, and that as far as Noah could see in all directions, he was seeing water. And so he said the entire earth was covered with water. Now, there are those who will say, oh, the earth was baptized, to which I would respond, that's kind of a tradition. It's certainly not doctrine. Would the earth have sinned that it needs baptism? No. Would the earth have needed baptism to join a church? I don't think so. I can't think of a valid reason why the earth itself would need to be baptized. And yet that is a tradition that persists within the LDS faith. If someone would like to believe that, I am totally fine with that. And if someone chooses not to believe that, that is absolutely wonderful with me as well. And I would hope vice versa. Let's move on to some of the other issues, though, from Genesis and about how literal or figurative it is. What about the Tower of Babel? Well, it turns out that that story, which in some ways sounds really difficult to believe literally, is definitely based on historical events. There is what is widely considered to be the ruins of the Tower of Babel, about 50 miles almost due north from Baghdad, Iraq, a tower called Etamen Onki. It was a tower that was built to be reaching and touching the heavens for its day. It would have been incredibly tall. Would have been approximately as high as a 40-story building, depending on who makes the estimates and how they do it. But we have some ancient coins and artifacts that depict it, and it was quite remarkable. It was very remarkable. And it's something that still has the base left, but the rest of it has been destroyed. Now, from there and the tie-in between that tower and its idea of reaching the heavens as part of the Babylonian Empire and the scattering of tongues, that's a tie-in that archaeology itself can't make. But the Tower of Babel itself seems to have been a genuine event. One of the other fascinating discussions that we had on this Facebook page was the age of the Earth. There are people who believe the age of the Earth is 7,000 years, and that is it. You have a couple thousand years after the time of Christ. You have 4,000 years prior to the time of Christ, approximately, till you get to Adam and Eve, which is an interesting idea. If Jesus was born in the meridian of time and you had 4,000 years beforehand, you have 4,000 years after, well, that means we have another couple thousand years to go till the second coming happens. But that's not the way people see that. People within the LDS faith and in other branches of Christianity believe that Jesus will be coming back very, very soon. One of the problems with the book of Genesis is trying to calculate timelines. It's nearly impossible to do that. There are gaps. And so you have, according to Jewish tradition, Adam and Eve being created in, look at the precision here, 3924 BC. You have Enoch being born at about 3402 BC, and he, along with his city, being translated in 3037 BC. The great flood of Noah, 2368 BC. Tower of Babel, not long, different in time, 2245 BC. So just a little more than 100 years after the great flood. How do things like that work? How could somebody build such a spectacular tower in less than 100 years and then have the scattering? I guess that's all possible. Father Abraham, born about 1900 BC, and from there, Moses, about 1556 BC, the Exodus, 1400 BC, David, King David, born about 1071 BC, and Solomon's Temple built in about 997 BC. Those are the traditional Jewish dates for these events. Are those real? I would be shocked if they're all correct, but they're reasonable estimates. Some of them, the farther back you go, how could you possibly know? The other events of the Old Testament that are just fascinating are things like the sacrifice of Isaac, which some have claimed is allegorical, and yet we know where that event is supposed to have taken place. It's now under what is the Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And according to the tradition of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, we all know where the sacrifice of Isaac took place. You get to other events in the Old Testament, such as Noah and the parting of the Red Sea. There's even disagreement about whether it's the Red Sea or the Reed Sea, and that discussion continues. There are arguments and discussions about whether or not the Exodus as a genuine event took place. I certainly believe it did, and we now have some archaeological stela which describe that event, although that still leaves the numbers of people and how accurate the numbers portrayed in the Bible are up for discussion. So if you look at all of these major items, all these major events in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, you will find that we really don't have actual historical evidence for Adam and Eve, but by tradition, we believe them to be true. Enoch, we don't have actual archaeological information about him, but we believe that he was a real person, as was Noah. Then we get to the point of the Tower of Babel, and there we have actual archaeological information. So starting at about 2500 BC, we have good archaeology to help us prove or demonstrate at least some of the broad brushes. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, Joseph, Moses, the Exodus, David, Solomon, all of those events are things that we can now at least have some supporting information for outside of the Bible. And the trend, fascinatingly enough, is towards archaeology supporting things that had previously been believed to not be historical. And that is a fascinating trend for me. That's wonderful to see because it shows that the Bible as literal history is something that, if not true in every single aspect, at least is true in most of the major aspects. I absolutely believe that, notwithstanding the fact that there are certainly errors in the Bible in translation and transmission, that the major themes and ideas in the Bible and the major people within the Old Testament are genuine and true. I hope you've enjoyed this Religion Today segment. Join me again next week or on podcasts. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.